What you have just heard is the greatest sting operation that has ever occurred in the history of humankind. Now, you might be wondering, why am I calling it a sting operation? Because I want you to understand that the crucifixion of Jesus was not an unplanned tragedy. The crucifixion of Jesus was a sting. And you remember what a sting is. A sting, as best as I understand it, is a pre-planned setup of circumstances designed to lure the person being pursued into a sense of victory. Only then, after they have thought that they were victorious, then closing the trap and defeating them. By that definition, the crucifixion was a sting operation guided by God and put into effect by God himself in the person of his son Jesus. And it was a successful sting. Now, why? Let me unpack that a little further. A lot of times, if we're not careful, what we can do is slip into the poor Jesus, look at what happened to him. Because obviously, anybody who thinks normally, as a human would have done everything to escape that kind of circumstance and arrest and torture and death. Peter himself gives voice to that. Do you remember when Jesus was about to go into Jerusalem and he said to the apostles, "I must go to Jerusalem now where I will be arrested and tortured and killed." Do you remember what Jesus said to him? Well, what Peter was expecting was that a normal reaction. And what's the normal reaction? When somebody says that you say that something bad is going to happen to you, and you respond, "Oh, may that not happen to you," the normal response would be, "Thank you so much for your concern. I appreciate the fact that you care enough about me not to have me go through this." But do you remember what Jesus said? Peter has just said something super nice. "Oh Lord, may this not happen to you." And Jesus responds, "Get behind me, you Satan." I imagine that Peter was just taken aback. But you see, what had happened was that Jesus had heard in Peter's words an unwitting echo of Satan himself. Do you remember when Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, was in the desert? And Satan takes him to the top of a hill and shows him all of the kingdoms of the world, all of them, past, present, and future, including Westchase, 21st century. All of the kingdoms of the world. And what does Satan say? "You see all of these? They're mine." Interesting statement. We belong to Satan. Why? do we belong to Satan? Because the world lives in darkness. And he is the prince of darkness. And so Jesus was hearing through Peter, Satan himself saying, you don't have to go through this, you know? All you have to do is kneel down and worship me, and I will give you all of this. No pain. No pain whatsoever. Easy peasy. You can go through it. And it was very tempting for Jesus. Very tempting not to have to go through the sting. But Jesus knew that his Father had a plan, and he wanted to be fully obedient to the Father to carry it out. Now, lest you doubt my terming this a sting, just look at the circumstances. Look at the circumstances as to who is in charge here. Jesus knows that he is about to be ambushed, murdered, and he's going to be tortured and murdered. He knows where it's going to happen. Now, if you knew that you were going to be kidnapped, tortured, and killed at a particular place in a particular time, the first thing you would do is avoid being there. But what does Jesus do? He goes to Jerusalem, where he knows this is going to happen. He knows even when it is going to happen. Because the night before it's going to happen, he gathers his apostles and he has a meal with them. And it's not just any night. It's the night in which the Passover liberation occurs. Now, what is the Passover commemoration of the liberation? It's the liberation of the Jews from Egypt that's being celebrated that night. And Jesus enters, as we did at the beginning of the gospel today, Mass, he enters into Jerusalem, and everybody's, yay, Jesus, yay, Jesus. And then he goes to a place and he has the Passover meal with his disciples. Now remember what the Passover meal means. It is a recollection of Jesus, of the power of God delivering the Jews from the slavery of Egypt through the desert and into the promised land. So it is a meal recording and remembering the covenant in which God had liberated his people from slavery. And Jesus sits at that meal commemorating that, and he takes bread and he takes wine and he says, this wine is the new covenant in my blood. Now, remember what they're celebrating. They're celebrating the covenant made by God in liberating Israel from slavery. But Jesus is conscious that something is about to happen that is a new covenant because of who he is. He is God himself. And so he says, after he says, take this and drink it, my blood, the beginning of the new covenant. And then he says what we're doing here. He says, do this, meaning the meal, in memory of me. Guy knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to die. He's not running away. He is heading straight for it. Then after he finishes that, he turns to Judas and he says, okay, Judas, go do what you have to do. He even sends his betrayer to go turn him in. But he knows what's going to happen. Judas knows that they have this habit of, after having a good meal on this particular evening, they go to the Garden of Olives and they sit underneath the trees and they rest and they listen to the night. And Judas knows that. And so Judas goes off, gets the people ready to arrest Jesus. And so what does Jesus do? He goes exactly to the place where he knows, Judas knows, he's going to be. And he sits there, kneels there actually, and waits. He waits to be arrested. He's putting himself, he himself is the bait. And he's putting himself there. Now, he's not just kind of doodling. He is so scared, he is actually sweating blood. Do you know that it has been shown that that can actually occur? That the blood pressure can get so high that in some people, the capillaries around your head can burst and your sweat becomes mixed with some of the blood because you're so scared. And Jesus doesn't want to go through this. He knows what's about to happen. But he looks at his father and says, Father, if there is any way that this cup pass from me, notice, they know, he knows what's about to happen. Let it be done, but not according to my will, according to yours. Now at this point, just think about the answer to this question. Jesus says to the Father, if it's your will, okay. And then he gets crucified. Was it the will of the Father that Jesus be crucified? And the answer is no. So what was the will of the Father? The will of the Father is the reason why we're doing this sting, is to let the power of darkness do whatever it wants to you. And it will believe that in killing you, the power of darkness believes that it has won its traditional victory over humankind. You see, the power of darkness, the ultimate weapon that the power of darkness has, is to take your life, to kill you. And most people would be so scared in face of the power of darkness that they would not face the ultimate power of darkness. But God the Father is saying to Jesus, let them do to you whatever they will do. And so Jesus waits, and sure enough, by golly, here comes Judas. And Judas, with all of the army and ready to arrest him, Jesus doesn't resist. As a matter of fact, he says to the apostle, stop it. And he then says, it's okay. This is the hour of the triumph of darkness. The trap has worked. The power of darkness thinks that it has Jesus and it will crush him. Okay? That's what's happening. It's interesting because St. Paul says in another place in one of his letters, he said, if the powers of darkness had known that it was the Lord of glory, they would never have crucified him. They would never have crucified him. He's a decoy. The power of darkness could never have believed that God has become man. It was a decoy. And so Jesus is arrested. He stands before Herod and Pilate, pretty silent, says a few words, but understands that he is who he says he is. Pilate says to him, don't you know that I have the power to release you or to kill you? And Jesus turns to him and says, "You would have no power over me unless it had been granted to you from on high." And he says, "I could have an army of angels and would come to rescue me, but my kingdom does not belong to this world. Do what you have to do." And so what happens? The power of darkness takes hold of all the people that had been cheering him. And all of a sudden, everybody's ready for the entertainment of an afternoon. Of course, in those days, entertainment meant there was no TV, there was no movies or anything. So people attended crucifixions and executions as if they were sort of, sporting events. And if you think that's far out, it is not. Remember the gladiators? Why would people go? Romans would fill the Colosseum. And they would watch people kill each other and Christians be torn apart. And they would cheer. Human life was not understood in the same way in those days. We live under a Christian umbrella, whether we know it or not. And so Jesus is led to the cross, crucified, ridiculed, and I want you to understand, you see the crucifix behind me? That cross is way too tall. It's only there because we want people to see it, and the church is very tall. But the height of the crucifixion, Jesus' feet would have been right about here. And so if you would have been standing below the cross, his head would be right there, right about 2 or 3 feet above me. Not only that, he was butt naked. We don't do that because of the modesty issue. He was bloodied, butt naked, ridiculed, abandoned. And at that very moment, remember who this is. This is God made human. At that very moment when he could have looked up and said, "Father, look what these..." Well, we're in church. Look what these jerks have done to me. And he could have looked up and said, "Father, to hell with them." By the way, hell is a good word to say in church. It's not said enough. To hell with them. Let's start over again. Yet what are the words that come out of his mouth? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." It was at that moment that humanity learned that what we say even to little kids today, God is love. Do you know that when you walk into Catholic churches, you always see a crucifix, a cross with a body on it? When you walk into many Protestant churches, you see only an empty cross. And the reason for that is very specific. It's not just artistic. It's because we understand that this moment we celebrate today and those words, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," is the moment that humankind understood that God is love. Before that, no human being would have ever told you that God is love. Before that, the gods were understood to be crazy. Why do you think they sacrificed animals and burned them, and even some human sacrifice throughout the world, throughout the entire world, in the Americas and in Europe and Asia, everywhere, human sacrifice? Why? Because you had to appease the darkened understanding of who God is. Remember who's in charge here? The power of darkness. And the power of darkness had even manufactured an ancient religion. And the ancient religion was a religion that required killing, burning, and blood. And then if you would offer an animal or a human, you would burn them. And then the smoke would rise and God or the gods would bend over and go, ah, barbecue. And that's how you would please the gods. Because the gods were crazy. And when you have a crazy person, you appease them. And you appease them the best way you can. And they thought that the gods must value what we value. Therefore, our sheep, our bulls, our cows, our sons and daughters, we'll sacrifice them. Then the gods will be pleased about how important we think they are. And at this moment, the Jews are even under the power of darkness, because that's how they worship God. If you would have gone to church in those days, church was watching an animal get ripped apart, and then the priests would dip their branches and they would walk around. You know how sometimes the priests will walk around with holy water? Well, they would do that with blood. And that was a sign that you were receiving the blood, the life of the sacrifice that was being sent up to God. And so Jesus not only allows this, Jesus puts himself as the bait in the middle of the sting. And the power of evil, once Jesus dies, says, yes, we got him. But then the sting comes to a close. Because on that Sunday, God reaches into the tomb and he says, hell no. That's actually true. God was saying, you have put hell, because you've been driving darkness into people, into the darkness with your fear of death. That's the hell. And God says, hell no. And he takes Jesus and he raises him from the dead. Now, this is not resuscitation. They do that all the time at the medical center. Resuscitation is when you're brought back to this life and you got to die again. Resurrection is when you've gone through and you went through death and came out the other side. Jesus, as a human being, was liberated from death. What was the new covenant? What was the old covenant? The liberation of Israel from the darkness of captivity in Egypt, to be liberated going through the desert and into the promised land. That's the old covenant. What is the new covenant? One human being acting as a decoy, allowing himself to be enslaved by the darkness of death, going through the death in the tomb and coming out the other side, and liberating humankind from the power of darkness. That's, by the way, if you ever try to figure out, when we read the gospel, why we say the gospel, the good news of the Lord, I don't know about you, but the fact that we have hope that when this body, as it gets older and dies, and you get ripped apart and all your relationships go literally nowhere, that you can stand before death and say, this will not stand. And as a matter of fact, God will again say in Jesus, hell no. And that's why this day is so important. That's why it's so important. And so you have just heard the greatest sting operation in all of human history. And because of that, the success of that sting, we today have hope. And we celebrate this Holy Week, and it's holy because it is the source, the only source of ultimate hope for all of humankind. Thank you for listening to me.